Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
SoCal's Country Station 95.1 K-Frog. I'm Pepper. This is Spirit of the IE. For 13 years, Rewritten has been working to improve the quality of life for young people who are living with the burden of an absent father. To fill the void left by their fathers, young people will often turn to drugs to feel good, promiscuity to feel loved, and gangs to belong. Rewritten, based in San Bernardino, believes it doesn't have to be that way. And this year, they're making their annual Race for Rewritten 5K fundraiser easier than ever to participate in. Joining me is Frank Perez, CEO for Rewritten. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Frank, start by telling us, what is the mission of Rewritten?
Yeah, so we exist to come alongside young men and women who are growing up without a father present in their lives. And we provide holistic mentoring support to help fill the gaps and voids in their lives as a result of their fathers not being present. We believe that there are major gaps and voids when a father is not present like he should. And so we come alongside them and provide mentoring support in different areas. So there's academic support, there's scholarship support, and there's emotional and mental healing support that we provide in the lives of these young people that we serve.
And who do you serve?
Our age group is as young as 5. So our youngest participant right now is 5, up through college age. So right now our oldest, I believe, just turned 23. So that's our age range. And we provide support locally in San Bernardino City and San Bernardino County. We have a learning center and a space there where we work with kids in person. And then we also provide virtual support. So our virtual support is available to our local participants who are not able to make it into our learning center. But also we have a national aspect of our program. That's for our high school seniors and college age kids that we support across the country who receive mentoring and scholarship support.
What types of programs are offered at Rewritten?
There's mentoring, academic, and scholarship support. So those are kind of the three overarching pillars of our organization. And underneath all of those, we have a variety of programs that we provide to help support these young people. So for example, we have under our academic support, we have a program called Script, which is about the writing process and the narrative process of storytelling. And that program focuses on just really trying to help them develop their reading, writing, and comprehension skills, but at the same time, giving them an outlet to express themselves. Oftentimes, these kids struggle with being able to express their feelings or what's happening. And so this gives them an opportunity to express themselves through story. And so often, like we find over and over and over, they'll create stories or characters that are reflecting people they actually know in real life. And so without mm-hmm. them even realizing it, it's once we go through the process of rewriting that story and making corrections and like punctuation and grammar and that sort of thing, they begin to realize, oh, this bird that I made up that doesn't stop talking is kind of my really annoying cousin that doesn't mm-hmm. ever stop talking. And so for them, it's just kind of, it's really neat to watch them and watch the process of them being able to understand their stories more. And then at the same time, become better writers, understand literature more, read well. We believe that reading is a big part of academic success. If they can learn to read well and comprehend what they're reading, they can really do anything. And so that's one of our academic support. And then with like under our mentoring, we provide a variety of workshops. So we have one that we do that's called Guard Your Heart, which is really about being able to protect yourself emotionally. A lot of times these young people, when they come from these broken homes, have no skill sets, no training or understanding with how to guard themselves from people that are destructive or potentially hurtful in their lives. And so we'll do these workshops on how to really guard their hearts, guard their emotions and feelings from people who could potentially hurt them further. So it's a really big one. We do workshops on decision making. That's huge. I think a lot of times these kids are incredibly confused and don't know how to make decisions. And, you know, they come from homes where mom is just hustling and trying to, you know, working 2 to 3 jobs to provide and make ends meet. And so there isn't a lot of time spent with them to really work through and talk about what it's like to make healthy decisions. And so a lot of these kids, especially with our middle school, high school, and, you know, college age kids, they're making decisions that at the time they don't realize have a ripple effect, have a domino effect for the rest of their lives. Mm. And it's not too late to change things, but if you can get them to understand that the decisions they're making now will affect them when they're, you know, 18, 20, 25, and 30, they're more likely to make healthier decisions, thus kind of, you know, rewriting their futures and having lives that are rewritten. So those are kind of some of the mentoring ones. And then there's scholarship support. So we have high school seniors who get to the age where they're going to go to college or trade school or do an apprenticeship, and they need financial support one way or another, whether it's to help with tuition cost or living expenses. And so we come alongside them. We provide monetary support. And it ranges. They're not like massive dollar amounts, but anywhere from $500 up to a couple of $1,000s that we provide for these young people. And so those are some of the programs, but there's a long list of them, but those are just the three, again, mentoring, academic, and scholarship support. And then there's a variety of programs within each one of those to help really fill the gaps and voids that are in these young people's lives.
One of my favorite programs that you offer, I believe, falls under the mentoring umbrella, and that's the Better to Give program. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so that's one of our favorites too. I mean, I think they're all kind of one of my favorites, but that one, Better to Give, when you come from a broken home, it's really hard to understand, really difficult to understand that you have anything of value, anything worthwhile to give back. And we believe we are a faith-based, Christ-centered organization, and Jesus teaches that it's better to give than to receive. And when you are in a space or in a place in your life where you feel like you have lost so much because your father's not present, it is challenging and difficult to believe that it's better to give than receive when you've lost so much. And so that program really focuses on helping them understand wherever they are in their lives, whether they are 7, 15, or 20, and however broken their family might be, that God has given them skill sets and talents, and that they are loved, and that they are worthy and worthwhile, and that their lives matter. And from that space, they can begin to give back. And so we try to engage them in a variety of different opportunities where they can actually see tangible, real life, practical implications of what that looks like and what that means. And so we'll do things like city cleanup days where they're out there picking up trash, which is not that much fun, but the space looks a lot cleaner right after. And so then they get really excited about that. But there's some really fun ones that we've done. What I've really loved is the opportunities we've had to take them into elderly living facilities. We've done a few of those. And there's a couple of them, but two that come to mind is there was one where we took the kids in, and it was like a dance birthday party celebration for the elderly. And they were having like a birthday day kind of thing for a few of them. And so our kids went and just kind of danced with them and were showing them different moves. I don't remember the exact dance moves, but it was really funny to watch these 13, 14, 15, 16-year-olds teach these 80-plus-year-olds how to, like, you know, do the shuffle and the different, you know, dances.
Floss.
That are out. Yeah, yes, those things. So that was really great and fun. And the joy that these kids, and they're like, Mr. Frankie, did you see that lady and that man over there trying to dance and trying to bust a move like us? And it's like, it was great. It was awesome. I love it. Keep doing it. Like, we're going to be right back. We'll be right back. We're going to go show them some more moves. It's like, do it, do it. And so that was one. And then another time, a few times we've done this, but they've had opportunities to show the elderly how to use their technology, which they need to show me how to use my phone too, by the way. But these phones, there's so many different like things to them, the pictures that they can take and the apps that are a part of them. And a lot of these elderly individuals aren't familiar with how to use them. You know, their families will get them phones and these different, you know, tablets and different kinds of things to be able to have regular communication with them when they're not there, you know, visiting them. But a lot of them have no idea how to use them. And so our kids have come in at different points to show them how to FaceTime. It's hilarious. And they're like, oh, there's a camera. Oh, look at, that's me. That's me on the phone. It's like, yes. And so now if you call your family, you can FaceTime them and they can see you and you can see them. Oh my. That's what that does. Okay. And then here you can text. So the text, oh, okay. And I'm sorry, I go into like, my background is in film and all of that. But so I go into like, I hear their voices in my head. And so then I automatically default to what I think sounds like these different people. So they love that. And they're just like, Mr. Frankie, they had no idea how to FaceTime or how to like text or how to like send a voice message. And so I was showing them how to do that. And they were like, hi, it's Grandma Susie. I'm just sending a message saying, hello, okay, bye. So that's really great. And so again, I think, you know, that's on the surface, if you just were to walk in and you see these 15, 16-year-old kids sitting with 80, 90-year-old elderly people, and you're just sort of like, oh, okay, they're they're on their phones and there they go, and or they're just sort of, you know, teaching them some funky dance moves. It may look like something really simple and like not that, like that, that there's a whole lot going on there. Like there isn't a whole lot behind that, but there is so much behind that, especially when you come from the brokenness that these kids come from. Mm-hmm. And so every time we've left these situations or these spaces, all they talk about is how excited they were to be able to do that and that they got to teach someone something. And so to be able to see them understand what it really means to give back and that it is better to give and that Jesus is not a liar and that there is life there is one of the most powerful things that we've been ever been able to experience and see. You know, and that's our goal. That's our end goal, is to really fill these gaps and fill these voids and teach these young people that their lives matter, even if one of the most important persons in their life chose to not be there for them and validate them and affirm them and teach them that their lives do matter, that there is a person named Jesus and the fatherhood of God who comes into their lives and says, you matter, I designed you, I'm intricately made every single part of you, even the parts of you that can teach a 90-year-old how to FaceTime. I did that, and it matters.
I'm speaking with Frank Perez, CEO of Rewritten. Give us some examples of how participants have been able to be successful through Rewritten.
Let me see here. I'm going to try to hone in on a few because I get so excited when people ask me this question. And every year there's something new and exciting. I think a couple of things. One of the big things that we love is when the cycle of fatherlessness is broken in the lives of these young people. It's one thing to fill the gaps and voids. It's another thing to see the trajectory of their lives completely shift and change. One young man I just actually took some family photos of back in January as a gift. He is maybe 27 now. I don't remember exactly, but he's probably 26, 27. He was part of our program for about 10 years. He is now married. He is serving, I believe, in the Air Force. He's now stationed overseas, but he is married with 3 children and they have their 4th on their way. And he loves being a father. He cannot imagine any other role other than being a husband. He loves being a husband first and then being a father to his children. And so to see that there is this commitment in his life that he has made to these people that he loves, to this woman that he loves, to the children that they've had together, and that whatever's happening, he's going to stick it out and he's going to commit his life to them and to serving them and to serving them well. And not just that, like this life of service in the Air Force for this country. I mean, talk about better to give and the life behind that. That's one of our more recent stories in this young man and his life. But there are so many like that. We have another young man who also actually I'm just thinking now better to give more, and I'm thinking about these kids and their lives. But this other young man just graduated from the Navy. I was in Chicago back in, I think, October for his graduation. And now he's stationed in Virginia, going to school there and learning a few more things. But he loves serving our country and he loves being of service and being of use. And he's not married yet. He's 20. But those are a couple of examples. Another young man just got accepted into medical school in Kentucky somewhere. So he's going to be a doctor. And so there's story after story. A lot of the young ladies, there's quite a few, but I'm just thinking of a couple of our young ladies who are now in their mid-20s. One young lady is doing nails. She has her own little nail business. But what I love about the young ladies, I have 4 daughters of my own, and they're young. Our oldest is 10, and our youngest is 2. But as a father, I think a lot about how young women from broken homes don't understand how to protect themselves. Mm-hmm. And the stats are wild and crazy. But when we can come alongside a young lady and teach her how to not just guard her heart, but to protect herself, is a powerful thing. And so we have so many young ladies who are now in their mid-20s who are not out there, you know, like we mentioned in the opening, the promiscuity that happens with a lot of these young people, specifically the young ladies who get a lot of times, oftentimes get stuck because these young men just leave and bail on them. And these young ladies are stuck raising children on their own. Mm-hmm. But they've been able, the young women we've been able to work with, most if not, you know, 9 out of 10 of them, 90% of them are breaking that cycle. And they don't have these children with these men who are just bailing on them, and they're breaking the fatherlessness in their own lives. And so this young lady who I'm referring, one of them I'm referring to, she has no children yet. She wants lots of children. And she wants to go into social work because she wants to help young people who grew up just like her, because she knows the brokenness, she knows the hurt, she knows the fragmentation of fatherlessness all too well. She doesn't want it in her own life ever again, and she doesn't want it in the lives of any young person she ever meets. And so the nail business is what she's doing now, but she wants to get into social work.
What do you think makes Rewritten unique and an organization that stands out from others.
Hopefully I won't go to church too much here, but I think at the end of the day, we are just an arrow. We are an arrow to point these young people to the fatherhood of God through the person and work of Jesus. I can never be anyone's father. Neither can any of our team members. We can never replace someone's father. And so all we are trying to do is fill the gaps with what we believe a father should have been doing and should be doing in the lives of his children. But beyond that, our ultimate goal, our ultimate hope and our prayer is that we are pointing these young people to their true father. As a father now, myself, that's my goal with my children. I'm just their earthly father who is an arrow to their true father, the source of all life, the source of their lives. And so the young people we work with, we want them to know the source of their lives, the source of all that they are, all they want to be, all they hope to be. And so I believe that is what sets us apart. I believe that that is what actually is rewriting their lives and changing the trajectory. We are just tools and we are just arrows.
Why is this work so important to you?
Oh, man. I'm one of these kids. I grew up without my father. He was part of our lives until I was about four. And then through a series of events, unfortunate events and some choices, he was no longer a part of our lives and then eventually passed away in a car accident. And so I know all too well, I know firsthand what these kids are struggling with. I know what their mothers are struggling with. And so for years, I ran from the issues of my fatherlessness, but then I started to really understand that God can use all things for good for those who love him. And so I decided one day, God, okay, here's my life. What would you have me do with it? And I went and studied film and got a degree in film and was in LA trying to be a interesting, famous, rich, you know, filmmaker living in the south of France somewhere, but that didn't really happen. And so ultimately, I'm here doing this work, and God is using the story of my life to be a tool to help other young people find healing, restoration, and hope in the fatherhood of God.
Your signature fundraiser for the past 3 or 4 years has been Race for Rewritten. That's going to look a little different this year. Tell us about that.
Yes, it's going to be virtual this year. There's a few reasons, and so I won't dive into like all 572 of them, but I'll just dive into a couple of them. Like I mentioned earlier, we are a faith-based, Christ-centered, you know, organization. So the majority of our supporters and the people that rally around us are churchgoers. And so our race was happening on a Sunday morning every year, primarily because it's just cheaper to do that. You don't have to worry about a lot of things happening. And so there's just costs that are associated with that that are a lot less. That said, a lot of our supporters want to be a part of it, and we're not able to. And so the last couple of years, we've been trying to work out how do we do a virtual version simultaneously with the in-person version. And what we decided was, just based off of our capacity at this point, we could do either or. At this point, we're not able to do both. So we decided to transition to a virtual one completely so that anyone and everyone who wants to participate, who cannot make it on a Sunday morning or who's not local to San Bernardino area, can participate. And so the response has been great. We're excited. So that's kind of the thinking about why going virtual. And then there's a whole lot more as far as information and details about the actual race.
Give us some of those details.
Yeah. Something that's really cool about being able to do virtual is that it's not just a 5K. So for all those crazy runners, I'm not one, but I'm crazy. We have a 5K option, a 10K option, and a half marathon option. So I mentioned I'm not one of those crazy runners, but I am crazy because I signed up for the half marathon. So there's those options. Now, virtual simply means that participants can do their 5K, 10K half marathon from wherever they'd like. They can go on a treadmill. They can go in their backyard and run in circles for, you know, a 5K. They can go on their block. They can go to their local park. They can find a track. So that's all that virtual means. We've actually had quite a few questions because I actually wasn't very familiar with virtual races before we started looking into it for Rewritten. And so those are some fair questions. I didn't understand it, and I'm starting to understand it a lot more. But a lot of people have been asking, so what does that mean? Like, do we put on some goggles and just kind of, you know, run in place? It's like, no, not that kind of virtual, although that's a big thing right now, I think, in other spaces. But that's not what we're doing. You have to actually get out there. You can walk, you can roll, you can run. So there's that. Registration is open right now. So everyone will receive a race kit. In that race kit, we're still doing medals. There's race shirts. There's a race swag. So once you register, the first week of June is when all race kits will be shipped out. So they'll be dispersed, I should say. For local people that want to come in and pick up their race shirt and race kit, they can come locally and all that information will be out as we get closer to our dates. So our dates are June 13th through the 22nd, I believe, is the actual duration of the race. So you can do your miles anytime during that 10-day period, I believe. And then once you do them, you upload them. There's different apps you can use to track your miles. And then there's, through your registration, there's options to upload your time. And then it'll go into the tracking timer thing. And then also we'll have first, second, and third place prizes for each category, men and women, for the 5K, 10K, and half marathon. And so those are some of the logistics. Again, if you're a crazy runner, you can do the half marathon. If you want to maybe just go for a nice little walk, roll, or a short run, there's the 5K and 10K options.
Tell us about the timing of this event. Why June?
So June, Father's Day is in June. And so we don't want to forget why we're doing what we're doing. And so we talk about fatherlessness because fatherhood is so important. And so Father's Day, we want to honor and respect and celebrate fatherhood. You know, as a father myself, now being on this side of it, I understand how important fathers are to our society, our culture, who, you know, the young people that we serve. And so we just want to acknowledge that there are young people growing up without their fathers, but we also want to acknowledge that fatherhood is so important, which is why we do the work that we do, because fatherhood is so important. And so we want to have it right around a time when everyone else is thinking about what fatherhood means and what fathers mean. And so hopefully that also reminds them that there are young people without fathers in their lives. And this is a small way to be able to come alongside them during a season where, for so many of the young people we serve, for myself included, that time of year is a very difficult one. It highlights the fact that they don't have fathers in their home. And so if they can see that there is a community of people locally, you know, nationally, or and whatever that might look like, who are right there with them and can remember and can acknowledge the fact that their fathers are not present, but that we know that and we understand, and we're doing our part to help support them.
I'm looking forward to participating in this virtual race. My plan is to just do a hike up Mount Rubidoux because that's about a 5K. What other suggestions do you have for people who are trying to plan their route for the virtual race for Rewritten?
I'd say get some friends. Maybe text a couple of friends who you know maybe are walkers, runners, people who go out a little bit more maybe than you do, and get together and make a little event out of it. Have your own little version of a 5K in person, and maybe get some, you know, our race kits. We're going to have a couple of fun things in there, a couple of surprises, but get some people together, maybe plan a little barbecue after. It's going to be June, so find someone with a pool. Hit up those family and friends with the pool. Tell them, get the pool ready. There's a few of us going up to Mount Rubidoux, or we're going to go to the local park and we're going to do a little 5K and go for a walk, maybe a run, roll. And then we're coming over with some burgers and we're going to barbecue and go for a swim. So I would suggest there's so many parks that have tracks where you can do that. And Mount Rubidoux is a perfect one locally. It's a beautiful walk, hike. I've run that before, which is kind of intense and brutal. But for any runners, if they want to really challenge themselves, it's a perfect opportunity, perfect option. But yeah, I would just recommend reaching out to some of your friends and family who might be a little bit more familiar with some routes, and then just get together. Be safe, but have lots of fun. And then after you do it, oh, that's something I forgot to mention. Take a selfie. Hashtag race for rewritten and go on the social media, do that thing, and then we will find you. We'll repost it. We'll reshare it. And we'll just have fun for that those 10 days and share everyone's experience with being a part of what we're doing to help support young people without fathers.
And are there other ways to help support Rewritten and Race for Rewritten 5K?
Yes, there's sponsorship opportunities. So shout out to AC Pro, who is one of our major sponsors for the event. So you can sponsor, and that helps to cover the cost of the shirts and the medals and the different fun things in the race kit. The sponsorships also ensure that everyone's registration and participation, that those funds can go directly to the work that we're doing so that we can continue to mentor and support the young people without fathers. But you can visit rewritten.org, and then there's links for all of that and information about the sponsorship opportunities there.
I've been speaking with Frank Perez, CEO of Rewritten. Tell us again how we can sign up and get more information.
Go to rewritten.org, click on all the links there to register, to sponsor, or just to donate if you like. Maybe that week you're going to be on an airplane every single day and there's an opportunity. You can also just support our fundraising efforts. We have a pretty lofty, crazy goal of 100,000 to raise for this race. We've already hit, I think, just under 15,000. So that's exciting. But yeah, maybe you're just every day that week is just a crazy day for you and you can't get on the path to roll, walk, or run, but you want to support. So you can donate if you like.
And anything else you think we should know?
Visit rewritten.org. Oh, I will say we have our Rewritten podcast. If you'd like to learn more about the work that we do or get a deeper dive into some of the kids we work with or the reasons behind what we do, you can visit rewritten.org and there's links to all of that. And it's Fathered with Frank and there's discussions there about what we do.
Thank you so much for talking with us today. And I hope the virtual Race for Rewritten is a huge success.
Thank you, Pepper. I love being here and love talking to you about the work that we're doing. Thank you again so much.